Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and Tirma Masechus Yevamos Daf Yud Aleph. The first parak, Chamishas Reinashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim ben Esther and as a schus for Shidduch Hagon for Leah bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav that Atzar's Sota, Atzara of a Sota, is patur from doing Yibum or Chalitza. Rashi explains the case that a man marries two women and one of them has relations with another man and then he dies without children, then the Sota as well as the Tzara are patur from Yibum. The reason is because Tuma Ksiba, a pasuk in the Parsha of Sota, says the word Tuma, v'nistra v'hi nitma, and she goes into seclusion, she becomes Tameh. And a pasuk in the Parsha of Araya says the word Tuma, ati tamu b'kol elu, you may not become Tameh with all of these, which teaches us that a Sota is like an Erva. Rav Ashi asks on Rav from a brisa which states, if a woman goes into seclusion with a man for the amount of time that it takes for them to have relations, and Rashi explains this is referring to when her husband had warned her not to do so, she is forbidden to her husband, and if she's the wife of a Kohen, she's forbidden to eat truma, and if the husband dies, she then does chalitza. So we see from the brisa that she's not patur from Yibum, but rather she must do chalitza. The Gemara answers Rav can reply that he was discussing a vasota vadai, when it was certain that she had relations with the other man. And the Brisa was discussing a case when she had gone to seclusion with the man, but we don't know if they had relations. Point number two, the Gemara brings a Brisa that says, Rabbi Yosef ben Kefar said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Hamachzir gushzasa mina nasuin asura, one who wants to remarry his divorcee. If she had married someone else and then she got divorced or her husband died, then she's forbidden to him. But if she had only done erison to another man, then he may remarry her. The reason is because it says in regard to remarrying one's divorcee, acharei asher hu tamah, after she becomes tamei, which implies that she is only aser after she had relations with her second husband. The Chachamim say that she's forbidden to her original husband, even if she only did erison to the second husband. The Chachamim use the word hutamah to teach that a sota is forbidden to her husband. Rav Yudah asks Rav Sheshes, what's the halacha of the tzara of a machzir gushlaso after she remarries? This question is not according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kefar, since he says that the word tuma excludes machzir gushlaso from Yibum, the tzara is excluded as well. The question is only according to the Rabban who hold that the word tuma is written regarding a sota. Do they maintain that being that the simple meaning of the pasuk is discussing a machzir gushlaso, the word tuma applies there as well? Or do they hold that the word tuma is not referring to a machzir gushlaso at all? The Gemara brings an alternative version of the discussion in which the question is shown to only be according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kefar. And point number three, the Gemara brings a mishnah from Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that states that if a man who is married to two women dies without children, both women fall to Yibum to his brother, and the brother does Yibum or Chalitza to either one of them, and the tzar will be pater from Yibum. The mishnah continues, Haisa Achas Mehen Kasher Ba'Achas Basula, if one of these women was permitted to marry a Kohen, and the other one was forbidden to marry a Kohen, imaya choetz, choetz l'pesula. If the brother wants to do chalitza, which would pasul the chalitza from marrying a Kohen, he should do it to the Yavama, who is already pasul to the Kohuna. Rav Yosef, quoting Rebbe, explained the reason for this. One should not spill out the water of his pit if others need it. Meaning that since he wants to do chalitza, which would asa the chalitza to a Kohen, he should do it to the Yavam who is already asa to a Kohen and let the other one remain available to a Kohen. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav that Atzara of a Sota is pater from doing Yibum or chalitza. Rashi explains the case that a man marries two women and one of them has relations with another man and then he dies without children, then the Sota as well as the Tzara are patur from Yibum. The reason is because Tuma Ksiba, a pasuk in the Parsha of Sota, says the word Tuma, v'nistra v'hi nitma, and she goes into seclusion, she becomes Tameh. And a pasuk in the Parsha of Araya says the word Tuma, ati tamu b'kol elu, you may not become Tameh with all of these, which teaches us that a Sota is like an Erva. Rav Ashi asks on Rav from a brisa which states, if a woman goes into seclusion with a man for the amount of time that it takes for them to have relations, and Rashi explains this is referring to when her husband had warned her not to do so, she is forbidden to her husband, and if she's the wife of a Kohen, she's forbidden to eat truma, and if the husband dies, she then does chalitza. So we see from the brisa that she's not patur from Yibum, but rather she must do chalitza. The Gemara answers Rav can reply that he was discussing a vasota vadai, when it was certain that she had relations with the other man. And the Brisa was discussing a case when she had gone to seclusion with the man, but we don't know if they had relations. Point number two, the Gemara brings a Brisa that says, Rabbi Yosef ben Kefar said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Hamachzir gushzasa mina nasuin asura, one who wants to remarry his divorcee. If she had married someone else and then she got divorced or her husband died, then she's forbidden to him. But if she had only done erison to another man, then he may remarry her. The reason is because it says in regard to remarrying one's divorcee, acharei asher hu tamah, after she becomes tamei, which implies that she is only aser after she had relations with her second husband. The Chachamim say that she's forbidden to her original husband, even if she only did erison to the second husband. The Chachamim use the word hu tamah to teach that a sota is forbidden to her husband. Rav Yudah asks Rav Sheshes, what's the halacha of the tzara of a machzir grusha, so after she remarries. This question is not according to Rabbi Yosef Kefar, since he says that the word tuma excludes machzir grusha, so from yibum, the tzar is excluded as well. The question is only according to the Rabban who hold that the word tuma is written regarding a sota. Do they maintain that being that the simple meaning of the pasuk is discussing a machzir grusha, so the word tuma applies there as well, or do they hold that the word tuma is not referring to a machzir grusha, so at all? The Gemara brings an alternative version of the discussion, which the question is shown to only be according to Rabbi Yosef ben Kefar. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings a mission from Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that states that if a man who is married to two women dies without children, both women fall to Yibum to his brother, and the brother does Yibum or Chalitza to either one of them, and the tzar will be pater from Yibum. The mission continues, Haisa Achas Mehen Kasherah Ba'Achas Basula. If one of these women was permitted to marry a Kohen, and the other one was forbidden to marry a Kohen, Imaya Choetz, Choetz Lepesula. If the brother wants to do Chalitza, which would pasul the Chalitza from marrying a Kohen, he should do it to the Yavama, who is already pasul to the Kohuna. Rav Yosef, quoting Rebbe, explained the reason for this. One should not spill out the water of his pit if others need it. Meaning that since he wants to do chalitza, which would asa the chalitza to a Kohen, he should do it to the Yavam, who is already asa to a Kohen, and let the other one remain available to a Kohen. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Yud Aleph, and our standard simon is stars, related to the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The tzara of the Sota Vadai, who received a Pata from Yibum star, and who's waiting to see if her friend, the Tsar of Amachzer Gushaso, would receive one too, overheard a basin standing by a pit of water tell a woman who was already ushered to a Kohen that she should be the one to do Chalitza. Once again, in slow motion. The Tsar of a Sota Vadai, who received a Pata from Yibum star, that must be more in Duff Yud Aleph. The Tsara of a Sota Vadai, who received a Pater from Yibum star, which reminds the Gemara brings Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Rav, that a Tsara of a Sota is Pater from doing Yibum or Chalitza, which conflicts with the Brisa that states that if a woman goes into a seclusion with a man for the amount of time that takes for them to have relations, and Rashi explains this referring to when her husband had warned her not to do so, she's forbidden to her husband, and if the husband dies, then she does Chalitza. The Gemara answers that Rav can reply that he was discussing a case of a Sota Vadai when it was certain that she had relations with the other man, and the Brisa was discussing a case when she had gone in seclusion with the man, but it's a suffix if they had relations. So that Tsara of the Sota Vadai, who received a Pata from Yibum star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the Tsar of Amachzer Gushaso, would receive one too, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchus between Yosef ben Kefar and the Chachamim regarding when is Amachzer Gushaso Chayv? Is it only after Nisuan or after Erison as well? Which then leads to the question of what is the status of a tsaris machzir grushaso. So the tsar of the Sota Vadai, who received a pater from Yibum star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the tsar of a machzir grushaso, would receive one too, overheard a basin standing by a pit of water tell a woman who was already ushered to a Kohen that she should be the one to do chalitza, which reminds us that the brother wants to do chalitza, which would pasul the chalitza from marrying a Kohen, and he has a choice of two yavamas, and one of the women is permitted to marry Kohen, and the other one was forbidden to marry Kohen, he should do chalitza with the yavama who is already pasul to the kahuna. Rabbi Yosef, quoting Rebbe, explained the reason for this, one should not spill out the water of his pit if others need it, meaning that since he wants to do chalitza, which would asur a chalitza to a Kohen, he should do it to the yavama who is already asur to a Kohen, and let the other woman remain available to a Kohen. So once again, the tzara of the Sota Vadai, who received a pater from Yibum star, and who was waiting to see if her friend, the tzar of Machzir Gushaso, would receive one too, overheard a basin standing by a pit of water tell a woman who was already ushered to a Kohen that she should be the one to do Chalitza. All right, now it's time for four Blabach Chazar. Dav Zayin. So the Simmer Dav Zayin is a Kli Zayin, a weapon, and we use a gun. The cone with the smoking gun, that must mean one Dav Zayin, Kli Zayin, gun. The cone of the smoking gun who was taken away from the Mizbeach during his avoda, which reminds us, Rav Simon Bar Ashi says, the reason we would think that the death penalty may be given on Shabbos is because of a Kal V'Chomer, just as the avoda of a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash is Chamur and is Docher Shabbos, and yet execution overrides it, as it stated, Me'im Mizbechit Tekachenu Lamus, from the Mizbeach you shall take him to die, meaning the Kohen is taken to be killed even if he attempts to perform the avoda. Then Shabbos, which is Nidcha because of avoda, then all the more so taking away the Kohen to be killed is Docher Shabbos. So, the Kohen with the smoking gun who was taken away from the Mizbeach during his avoda, and was accused of eating a shlami while he was tame, which reminds the Gemara quotes a brisa that brings an example of the principle of davishe b'chav yatsmin akol ramed from the pasuk that states, and the one that eats from the meat of a carbon shlami and he is tame is chayv karis. Now, why does the pasuk need to say this? We already learned the one who is tame eats kachim is chayv karis from a different pasuk. We learned this from the justice of shlami is kachim is bech, consecrated for being offered in the mizbech, and one is chayv karis when eating it. So to anything else that is kachim mizbech, which excludes kachim betek abayis, consecrated for temple repair, that if one ate it when he's tame, he's pater. This drasha can be used by Achos Ishto as well, as far as Eshas Ach is including the category of all rights, as it's written, ki kol sheyasmi kol tohevas ha'el v'nikrusu, anyone that does one of these abominations will be cut off, and it is taken out of that general category, and it's a heter that she falls to Yibum, and this teaches us that all rights too fall to Yibum. The Gemara says that this drasha is different because the drasha by Shlamim is a general isser and a specific isser, whereas with our drasha, there's a general isser and a specific heter. So, the Kohen with the smoking gun who was taken away from the Mizbech during his avoda, and who was accused of eating a shlamim while he was tamei, was caught when the Baal Keri Matsori put his fingers into the azor to purify, pointing them out. Which reminds, the Gemara says that one might have learned that Acho's Ishto, his wife's sister, may be permitted for Yibum with a mamatzino from Eshes Ach, even though Eshes Ach had one Isser and Acho's Ishto had two Isserim through a principle called Oyel V'Ishtri Ishtri. Since it, one Isser becomes permitted, it referring to a second Isser becomes permitted. We find this principle of Oyel V'Ishtri Ishtri by a Metzora, where the Metzora has a hetzer to put his fingers into the base of Migdash for his purification process, and he may do so even if he is a Baal Keri, thereby having two Isserim. This is because once the Isra of Matzor is Mutter, the Isra of Keri becomes Mutter as well. Daf Ches, so the Simmer Daf Ches is a Challah. So here goes. The Hekesh Challah, Challah, that must be on Daf Ches. The Hekesh Challah that was awarded to the Achos Ishto instead of the Eshes Ach, which reminds the Gemara that since we can compare all the arrives to the Eshes Ach and Yibum would be permitted based on Rabbi Yonah's Hekesh, and we're able to compare all arrives to Achos Isha, and all arrives would be usher to do Yibum based on the Hekesh to Alea, why do we compare them to Achos Isha? The Gemara answers that if there's a choice to go either with Kula or Chumra, we go with Chumra. Alternatively, the Gemara answers that since Eshes Ach is one Isser, and Achos Isha and all Arayos are two Isurim, we compare all Arayos to Achos Isha. So the Hekesh Challah that was awarded to the Achos Ishto instead of the Eshes Ach was snatched by the Tzara standing under the Aleha banner. Which reminds us, Rava says that the word Aleha is not to teach about Achos Ishto, as it's obvious that Yibum would not be Docheed, as an Ase is not Doche Alos Ase, Sheesh Bokoris. Rather, is to teach you that the Tzara of an Erva does not fall to Yibum. Ravashi brings a proof to Rav from the words of our Mishnah, which states, Chamesh Esrei Nashim Potros Tzara Sen, 50 women Pater their Tzaros, but doesn't mention that these 50 women exempt themselves. This makes sense according to Rava, as the Mishnah does not need to teach this, as is obvious. So the Hekesh Challah that was awarded to the Achos Ishto instead of the Eshes Ach was snatched by the Tzara standing under the Aleha banner, who then gave it to her Yavama friend who was divorced and about to remarry her Yavam. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Berchanina Darshan's that the word Ulkacha, and he takes her, teaches, Shemagarshim a get umachzira. He divorces with a get, and he may take her back. Rashi explains that once the Yavam does Yibum, the Yavama is fully his wife. If he wants to divorce her, he gives her a get, and does not need to do chalitza. After he divorces her, he may remarry her, and we do not say that since his sister-in-law was permitted to him only within the context of the mitzvah of Yibum, once he divorces her, she reverts to being usher as an Eshazach. Daf Tes, so the similar Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The avid tea drinker, that must be more in Daf Tes, teapot. The avid tea drinker who was on his way to bring a chattis for being obit avodah zorah b'shogeg, which reminds the Rabbanan learned that any ver that when Dumba Mazid won his chayv chorus, when Dumba Shogeg won his chayv chattis, they learned it from the parsha dealing with an individual doing avodah zorah. Torah achas yelechem o'osu b'shkaga v'nefesh ha'shatas b'yad rama. It should be one law to you, to one who acts inadvertently and to one who acts with intention. The Rabbanan make a hekesh with this of the entire Torah to avodah zorah. Just as with avodah zorah, there is chorus if done b'mezid, and a chattis if done b'shogeg, so to anything for which one is chayv chorus for doing b'mezid is chayv a chattis if he did it b'shogeg. So the avid tea drinker who was on his way to bring a chattis for being ovit avodah zorah b'shogeg was so shocked when he saw his brother attempting to marry his mother, who was his father's anusa, which reminds us, Levi asked Rebbe why the Mishnah did not list 16 cases and include the case of the erva of Imo Anusa's aviv. One's mother was violated by his father and they weren't married. Rebbe answered him that the Mishnah does not mention cases that are subject to dispute. And this erva is a matter of disagreement, for it's a machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbanan if a case of Anusa's Avi falling to Yibum is even a possibility. So the avid tea drinker who was on his way to bring a chattis for being Ovid Avodah Zorah B'Shogeg was so shocked when he saw his brother attempting to marry his mother, who was his father's anusa, that he tripped and spilled his tea on two brothers who were about to be miyabim, two sisters. Which reminds us, the Gemara challenges Rebbe's assertion that the Mishnah does not list cases where there's a malchokas, when it brings Rebbe Chiya's rule that applies to our Mishnah and it only works according to Rebbe Shimon and not according to the Rabbanan, it answers that Rebbe does not hold of Rebbe Chiya's rule. Daf Yud. So the Siman Daf Yud is a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden. That must be more in Daf Yud. The minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons. Which reminds us, Rav Ada Karchina said in the name of Rava in front of Rav Kahana that Rebbe does hold of Rebbe Chiya's rule and provided a different explanation of Rebbe's response to Levi as to why the Mishnah does not include the case of Imo Anus's Aviv, his mother, who was violated by his father. Rebbe explained that it would not fit into one of Rebbe Chiya's rules in the following case, where Yaakov violates two sisters and each one bears him a son, and then these two sisters marry Yaakov's two other sons, who then die childless. It would not fulfill Rebbe Chiya's rule of Hazur Lazeh Mutaris Lazeh. The sister that is prohibited to this Yavam is permitted to the other Yavam, and vice versa, since each Yavam is Asur as the mother of a different Yavam, and is the sister of his other Yavama. So, the minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons, refusing to listen to his excuse that each son can call each woman Imo, his mother, which reminds us, Ravashi says, the Rebbe does not hold of Rebbe Chiya's rule, and that his harsh response to Levi was that Levi should have inferred that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda, who holds that Anusa's Aviv is Aser, and therefore, there can never be a case of Anusa's Aviv falling to Yibum from either brother. For the Mishnah later says, Sheish Arayis Chamurus Me'elot, six Arayis are more common than the 15, Mifnation and Suiz La'acherim, because they must be married to others and can never marry a man's paternal brother. The Gemara proves that since two of these Arayos are Imo, Ve'esha's Aviv, his mother and his father's wife, it must be that Imo, his mother, is referring to a woman that was violated by his father, and the Mishnah stating clearly that she's forbidden to all of the paternal brothers, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the minion of Yidden who shunned Yaakov, who violated two sisters, who then bore him sons, refusing to listen to his excuse that each son can call each woman Imo, his mother. We're not sure whether they should welcome a man who did chalitza and then was mekadesh his chalitza, since it's only a love. Which reminds us, Gemara discussed the lach in the case of a cholitz lebimto v'chaz v'kidsha, one brother who does chalitza and then returns and does kedushin with her and then dies childless, so that she then falls back to the brothers whom she had previously fallen for yibum or chalitza. Reish Lakish holds that the first brother only had a love to take his chalitza based on the pasuk asher lo yivneh, who shall not build his brother's house. Kevin shall banat shuv lo yivneh. The future tense implies that once he did not build, he shall never again build. But the other brothers remain with the original Issacharis. Rav Yochanan holds that the first brother and the chalitza each act as a shliach for his brothers and her tzaros respectively, and therefore they are only prohibited to each other on the level of a love. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.